Tom takes the snap. He's pressured. He moves up. He slips the rush. He steps to his right. He loads up. He throws deep downfield. Gronk is there at the goal line. Ball is up in the air. Batted around. And it's incomplete. And the Philadelphia Eagles, for the first time in their history, are Super Bowl champions.
Instead of a repeat of Super Bowl champions, the Patriots suffered a difficult-to-swallow 41-33 defeat in Super Bowl 52 on Sunday at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. Patriots fans had hoped for a sixth Super Bowl title for the team. Instead, today, they're dealing with the Super Bowl hangover. We'll get to what happened as well as what will happen as we look ahead to the 2018 season and what's shaping up as an offseason of change for the Patriots. I'm Chris Gasper. It's Monday, February 5th, and welcome to Season Ticket from Minnesota. I'm here with Boston Globe senior NFL writer Ben Volen. Ben, I just want to get your thoughts, first of all, on this Super Bowl and what went wrong. For me, it starts with the defense.
Obviously, I think Tom Brady was pretty magical on offense, and the defense was the opposite of magical. You know, I wrote in today's paper, where were the second half adjustments? This is a team that always seems to figure it out at halftime and shuts the other team down. The Eagles had the ball four times in the second half, touchdown, field goal, touchdown, field goal. The Patriots just didn't even pretend to stop the Eagles. And when they needed to stop, the Eagles marched 75 yards, milked 7 minutes off the clock, and really put the pressure on Brady and the Patriots. So, you know, you have to put Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia squarely in the spotlight on this one. They didn't play Malcolm Butler. That's obviously the story of the day. I don't know if he would have won them the game, but I think his energy and certainly his tackling ability would have helped. The defensive tackling was atrocious yesterday. And you wonder if, you know, people's heads were in the game. You've got Josh and Patricia thinking about their next jobs. You've got Bill Belichick going to the Timberwolves game and Malcolm Butler showing up late. And who knows what's going on with that situation. So I do wonder if the Patriots had their heads in the right place yesterday.
All year long, you know, the Patriots defenders have talked about, well, it's about points. It's not about yards. Well, that drive was about yards and time, because the fact that it took 7:01 off the clock made it a more urgent situation for Tom Brady, and in my opinion, it led directly to the strip sack by Brandon Graham.
Brady surveys the defense and takes the snap. Tom stands it. He loads up. He's hit. The ball's out! The ball's out! Philadelphia has it! Barnett comes away with a fumble!
And that was a huge play in the game, obviously. I mean, the Patriots got one more shot, but at that point, it's like, you know, basically forget about it. It was interesting. I saw this today, Ben, that this was the sixth time in NFL history that a quarterback threw for more than 500 yards and three touchdowns. Brady was 28 of 48 for 505, three touchdowns, no picks. This is the first time that quarterback lost a game in NFL history. And to me, that speaks to what you were saying. The defense couldn't hold up its end of the bargain.
Yeah, you know, this was a defense that was skating on thin ice all season, set a franchise low for just 18 turnovers, hadn't forced one in four straight games entering the Super Bowl. They did create a turnover.
Nice. Even that was lucky.
I mean, nice play by Gilmore Harmon. But yeah,
I mean, you know, I thought it deflected off Jeffrey, and I give Harmon a lot of credit for being alert, but I didn't really think, and maybe you've gone back and watched the film and had a better view of it. I thought the defense by Gilmore was solid, but honestly, I thought Jeffrey could have caught that.
Exactly. And it's just amazing. The Patriots gained 613 yards. Brady throws for 505, and they never punt once, and they still don't win. Several times this year, the Patriots haven't been able to get off the field. Like, the Eagles held the ball for 34-04 in the Super Bowl, and Jacksonville had a huge time of possession advantage, and it finally caught up with them in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, the 33 points the Patriots scored, the most points ever by a team in the Super Bowl that didn't win the Super Bowl. So, I mean, really, when you look at it, I think if you had told Patriots fans going into this game that Tom Brady and the offense is going to put 33 points on the board, especially when Brandon Cooks has to leave the game with a head injury, got drilled by Malcolm Jenkins in the first half, you'd feel pretty good about it. But it was just a complete system failure on defense. And I wrote this today in the Globe. The Patriots started the season giving up 42 points to the Chiefs and Andy Reid, and they end it giving up 41 points to Doug Peterson and Andy Reid's disciple in the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl. And that's not a coincidence. There's just not enough talent there defensively. And I also think if you're the Detroit Lions, and I don't mean to malign or impugn anybody, but do you have a little buyer's remorse on Matt Patricia? I mean, as you said, where were the adjustments? And the idea that part of the game plan was to put Jordan Richards on the field again for significant snaps, or at least, you know, a decent amount of snaps. There was a package there that they employed. They tried that in the first game of the season against the Chiefs, and it didn't work again.
Yeah, this wasn't the, you know, Jordan Richards has played some this season, so this wasn't the first time that he got out there. And I don't know if that was the reason they lost.
Well, he's a pedestrian player, though.
Right, he's a very average player, and he's in there for a specific purpose. It was to cover the running back out of the backfield, and he got burnt a couple times, so it didn't work that well. But, you know, again, they're playing Johnson Batamosi over Malcolm Butler. It was a very curious decision. Malcolm Butler played 98% of the snaps this year and then zero in the Super Bowl. And I don't care what Belichick says, whether it's a football decision or not, there's no way that could be their game plan to not use their number two cornerback that they've used for 98% of the snaps for all season. So clearly something was going on there. I don't know if the Lions have buyer's remorse, because Patricia has a good track record with this defense, and the improvements they made over the season, rising from 32nd in points allowed to 5th, that's impressive. To me, what this game does is it puts under the spotlight some of these personnel decisions that the Patriots have made over the last few years. That is an unathletic, untalented defense, and they gave up Chandler Jones, Jamie Collins. You know, they had all these guys lined up, these young players. We thought this was the core of another great defense, and they didn't want to pay anyone. They're not going to pay Malcolm Butler. He's obviously out the door as well. It's just amazing to me that they seem to have this really young, athletic, talented defense, and they chose to let everyone walk away and not pay anyone. And I know Belichick wants players who buy in, and maybe all those players weren't buying into the program. But look at what Chandler Jones did in Arizona this year, 17 sacks and was third in the NFL in the Defensive Player of the Year award. So the Patriots just don't have much talent or athleticism on defense. And they had it in their building, and they let it walk away.
It's all the more baffling as to why Malcolm Butler, who is capable of being a game changer, didn't play. I look at this, and I think this is the ultimate sort of test for the "In Bill, I Trust" crowd, because there was really no explanation from Belichick that made a lot of sense as to why Butler didn't play.
We put the best, the players out there and the game plan out there that we thought would be the best tonight, like we always do.
Yeah, so there's not a lot of specifics from Belichick there. Obviously, that's not surprising. Malcolm Butler in the locker room after the game brushed past reporters and said, "I ain't got nothing to say," and gave a little salute that seemed like basically, "I'm done here." But ESPN did catch up to him as he went to the bus, and he said, "They gave up on me." Then he used an expletive, and he said, "It is what it is. It was a coach's decision." He also said, "I guess I wasn't playing good. They didn't feel comfortable. I could have changed that game, though." We'll never know.
We'll never know, and this is one of these topics that's going to be debated for days and weeks here in New England and across the nation. It's going to be a great topic for First Take, I'm sure. Stephen A. Smith will be screaming his head off. Again, yeah, we don't know if Malcolm Butler would have made the difference. He certainly had an inconsistent performance this season,
yes,
but he would have done better than Eric Rowe did in the first half on Alshon Jeffery, and he would have done better than Jordan Richards and Johnson Batamosi. And Butler's a good tackler, too. I mean, in the run game, the Patriots got gashed by LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi. They allowed over 6 yards a carry. Butler's a good tackler. He could have stuck his nose in there. Maybe could have made a play on one of those third or fourth downs. The Eagles were 10 of 16 on third down, and 2 of 2 on fourth down.
Were both huge.
That
fourth
down, that short little pass to Zach Ertz, that, on the Eagles' own 45, that was a huge play in the game. You know, one that's now going to go down in Philadelphia lore as an all-time play. If the Patriots make the stop there, that's probably the ball game. Very curious decision to bench Malcolm Butler. We don't know what happened. Bill will never say publicly. He doesn't want to trash a player. And I doubt we'll hear from Malcolm Butler's side if he did anything wrong, because he's a free agent now and doesn't want to hurt his value, of course. But getting benched in the Super Bowl, I mean, that's savage. That's as bad as it gets.
Yeah, I agree with you. And he was emotional during the national anthem. And the interesting thing about it, thank goodness for Eric Rowe, who seemed to be the only one that didn't get the Patriot lobotomy and wasn't sort of just saying, coach's decision. He came out and said that he didn't know he was starting until right before the game. And he was asked whether this was the plan all along, for Butler not to play. He said, no, that wasn't the case. So something happened here. We don't know what it is, but certainly the Patriots defense could have used all hands on deck and as much talent as they could get, as they got carved up by Nick Foles and that Eagles offense, and giving up 538 yards. Foles was great in this game, 28 of 43, 373 yards and 3 touchdowns. And you mentioned the 2 fourth downs. One of them came at the end of the first half, and it was a touchdown reception. That's right, I said reception by Nick Foles on a very creative play by the Eagles.
It's a direct snap to Clement, and then he tosses it to Bergen, who looks to throw. He flips it to Foles on the right side of the end zone for a touchdown. And the Eagles with a trick play.
Oh, my.
When you look at the coaching in this game, did you feel that Philadelphia outcoached the Patriots?
Well, the Eagles didn't bench any of their star players, and the Eagles executed their, you know, trick gimmick plays while the Patriots seemed to fail time and again. I didn't like the end around of Brandon Cooks on 3rd-and-1. I think there was a bubble screen on 3rd-and-1 that the Eagles blew up. Obviously, the Amendola pass to Brady didn't quite work out. I think that was another 3rd-down play. Like, curious timing for the Patriots play calls. You know, a pass from Amendola to Brady. Let's see that on a 1st or 2nd down. I don't know about a 3rd-down play.
Good point.
Although the Eagles, they executed on 4th-and-1. So, again, give them the credit. They're the ones that executed the key plays. They made the key timely turnover, strip sack. You know, if that doesn't happen, maybe we're talking about a Patriots 6 Super Bowl today and the legend of Tom Brady and all that. So I don't know if it was all about coaching, but Doug Peterson was on top of his game, and I'm not sure that Bill Belichick and his staff were.
Yeah, I mean, it really did come down to one defense making a play, and Philadelphia made that play. I mean, this was a track meet. Do you think in any way, Ben, that this loss for the Patriots in the Brady-Belichick era, they are now 5-3 in Super Bowls, but this loss to the Eagles, to Nick Foles, in any way dings or dents the legacy of Belichick and Brady?
Brady, no, because he just had a game for the ages, even in defeat. You know, obviously, I've been on record the last few weeks saying that I think a 5-2 record in the Super Bowl is better for his legacy than 5-3. I don't know that an 8th appearance adds all that much more to his legacy because he's already the greatest. However, he had such a transcendent performance that no one is pinning any of this on Tom Brady. I think a little bit of the shine does come off Belichick. Just this controversial decision with Malcolm Butler is something that's going to hang with him. You know, obviously, I think Belichick is still going to be going down as one of the greatest of all time.
Absolutely.
If not the greatest.
Absolutely.
The 5 titles, like, none of that can be taken away. But he made the controversial decisions. It was his defense that couldn't make a stop. So this game certainly didn't help Belichick. The fans want an answer for why Malcolm Butler was benched, and I don't think they're accepting Belichick's normal, you know, avoid the media type strategy.
Yeah, the normal Patriot palaver there. Yeah, I mean, hey, look, the legacy is what it is. These two guys are going to go down, I think, as the greatest of all time in their respective jobs. But when you look back on it, you had a real opportunity here to burnish it by saying you went 6-2 in Super Bowls and you've won 6 and now 5-3 and you lost to Nick Foles. And Foles played well, and I give the Eagles credit for putting him in a position to play well, and he made the plays. But, you know, if you're Bill Belichick, you're supposed to be able to flummox a backup quarterback like that, an ordinary quarterback like Nick Foles. And you go back to Super Bowl 42 and losing that game to the Giants and the way that that shook out. A situation where the Patriots had the more talented team and didn't win the game. This one, I guess you can argue as to who the more talented team was. Talking to players before the Super Bowl, we had Melvin Gordon and Trey Waynes on season ticket, and they felt Philadelphia was more talented. But I think when you talk about the Patriot mystique, I think that got dinged a little bit by losing the Super Bowl. And not just losing it, Ben, but losing it in the fashion that they did, as you mentioned, with a strange decision to not play Malcolm Butler, and it remains a mystery, and just how inept they were defensively. So that's something that I think the Patriots are going to have to live with, and it's going to be interesting to see moving forward how that part of the legacy ends up being perceived as we move forward here. All right, we're going to take a brief time out here on Season Ticket. When we come back, we're going to talk more about Super Bowl 52, but we're also going to look ahead to the 2018 season and discuss who's going to be back next year in Foxborough and who might not be back next season. Stay tuned for that. Welcome back. If you like Season Ticket, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, subscribing is the best way to make sure you get our latest episode as soon as it's available. All right, back now with Ben Volen to break down Super Bowl 52 and the Patriots' loss. I think one of the big things after this game, Ben, was there was discussion with Rob Gronkowski about retirement, and he didn't exactly shoot it down.
But, I mean, I'm definitely going to look at my future, for sure. I'm going to sit down the next couple of weeks and see where I'm at.
Gronk, what would make you retire?
We've been talking about all these Patriots who are potentially going to leave, and Gronk was not on that list. You know, I do wonder if this is a guy maybe blowing off a little steam after a long season or playing the contract game a little bit. I think that might be some of his motivation there. He's set to make like $8 million next year, which is a good salary. He made $10.5 million with his incentives this year, so maybe he's angling for more incentives. But he's also made a lot of money, and he's put his body through a lot. And he has played, what, nine seasons now in the NFL? So maybe he does call it a career, because this is a guy that can make – he could still make a lot of money off the field. He could still sell Gronk and Dunkin' Donuts and all that. So maybe he just – that wouldn't shock me if he does hang it up, if the Patriots decide not to step up to the plate with some sort of contract incentive or something. But, if they lose Gronk, that's – I mean, on top of the coordinators and Jimmy Garoppolo and some of the other things going on, that's going to be a significant loss for the Patriots.
Yeah, I would argue that would be the most significant loss if he is gone, because that's your number one offensive weapon for Tom Brady there. And it was an interesting Super Bowl for Gronk. He wasn't much of a factor in the first half of the game, and overall, he only had one catch for 9 yards on his first six targets, but he finished with 9 catches for 116 yards and 2 touchdowns, and he had the touchdown that put the Patriots ahead in the fourth quarter with 9:22 to go.
Brady takes the snap. He backs up. A lob toward Gronkowski. Left. Reaches yes. out. Extends. Makes the grab as he dives to the pylon. Touchdown, Patriots, as they tie.
And if the defense had been able to get off the field, that one might have stood up as the Super Bowl game winner. So he played well. Patriots actually had 3 receivers over 100 yards. So that's crazy.
Might be the first time that's happened since that 2013 game against the Steelers when Brady put up like 55 at home. But Hogan finally showed up. He hadn't put up 100 yards, I think, all season. And really it slowed down since he suffered that shoulder injury. Amendola, so clutch. More, big third down catches. He had that fourth down catch, 8 for 152. And then Gronk, 9 for 16 and 2 touchdowns. But very top heavy as well. No one else had, James White had 2 catches. Burkhead, Cooks, and Dorsett, 1 each. Obviously, Cooks went out early. Philip Dorsett played 50 snaps in place of Brandon Cooks and had 2 targets, 1 catch for 19 yards. And the Patriots gave up a decent quarterback to get him, and Brady, just for whatever reason, did not feel comfortable looking Dorsett's way all season. Played a ton of snaps and no targets and no catches. So Gronk, Amendola, and Hogan came through, but I was surprised that the running backs weren't involved more in the offense.
What do you think about Bill Belichick? Do you think there's any way that Bill decides he's not going to come back with all the turnover that you mentioned, and now the possibility that maybe Rob Gronkowski's not coming back?
Right. My hunch is still no. Belichick does come back. I do think that if he were going to leave, that McDaniels or maybe Patricia would be sticking around, and they'd have more of a succession plan. But it wouldn't shock me. Like, it would have shocked me if Brady left after all that we just went through with him saying he wants to play till he's 45 and trading Garoppolo. That would be a shocker.
Yeah, it'd be putting the Patriots in a terrible position.
Terrible, and there's no way he'd do that. And I don't. So it wouldn't shock me if, some of the behind the scenes stuff, the tension that everyone's been detailing, if that led Bill away, and then it's a daunting offseason. They're going to have to replace both coordinators and possibly the special teams coordinator. Joe Judge is rumored to be leaving for Detroit. His contract expiring as well. There are rumors about other coaches on the staff possibly retiring. Dante Scarnecchia and Ivan Fears, who've been doing this for 40 years plus.
Offensive line coach and running back coach, respectively.
Yeah, so that's – and you have to draft a quarterback to groom behind Brady, another one. So it's a daunting offseason. And now if you're looking at replacing Rob Gronkowski as well, I could see Belichick saying – forget it, this is too much, but I don't think he will. I think he stays and sets the team up for – I think him and Brady now are kind of on par to play another 3 years. They kind of set the they ride this out for a couple more years and then set the franchise up to move on finally, in a few years. So that's where I think Belichick is right now.
And to go back to your point about the personnel, you mentioned if Rob Gronkowski doesn't come back, Dwayne Allen, 2 snaps.
Brutal. I mean, just yet another offseason move that – didn't really pan out. Brandon Cooks was a decent player, and Stephon Gilmore played pretty well this year. But otherwise, Belichick whiffed left and right. And just as amazing to me that Malcolm Butler didn't play, and that Dwayne Allen playing 2 snaps isn't that amazing. But James Harrison, the guy they plucked off the street who couldn't get on the field for the Steelers, played 67 of 72 snaps last night. He played the whole game. I think that's another sign of how depleted the Patriots were on defense, that they're picking up this 39-year-old guy off the street and literally playing him in 95% of snaps in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. Do you think, Ben, there's going to be this sort of end-of-season kumbaya meeting with Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady to resolve the tension, as Robert Kraft has put it, between those principals?
I would say no, actually, just because I don't think all three of them are going to be getting together anytime soon. Like, the players, they spread out pretty quickly, and Brady, I'm sure, will be going on a family trip to Costa Rica or doing his off-season thing.
And you don't think he's going to talk about that contract extension he wants before he goes on vacation?
Well, I think he'll talk about things with Robert. I just don't think all three of them are going to get together and sing Kumbaya. I think Kraft will meet with Belichick and Kraft will meet with Brady, and I think they're going to just kind of leave things as they are, and it's maybe they don't want to poke the bear and they don't want to stir up some harsh feelings, so just leave it alone and maybe time heals some of those wounds. Again, I don't think the relationship is so bad that Belichick's going to walk off in a huff or anything. I mean, at the end of the day, he still made the Garoppolo trade and he still did what the owner wanted.
Under duress. I mean, he's never come out and said that, but nobody can come up with a logical explanation for why he would do that unless he was under duress or under a directive to do so.
Well, right. I agree with you 100% there. But I don't think they're all going to get together. I think Kraft will hash it out with Belichick and Kraft will hash it out with Brady, and they'll talk about Brady's contract. And it's just interesting. The dynamics moving forward will be interesting to monitor because Jonathan Kraft said it this week. I think Tom Brady has earned the right to walk away whenever he wants to. Well, I guarantee you Bill Belichick does not agree with that. So I don't think this tension is going away anytime soon.
Yeah, and I think you hit on that. It's a great point about the Jonathan Kraft comments. If you read between the lines of those comments, it basically says that unlike the other 52 players on the roster, Tom Brady calls his own shots. Bill Belichick is not going to call the shots on Tom Brady when it's time to move on from Tom Brady, and that would be a departure from the way the Patriots have done things for the last 18 years. Bill Belichick has the final say in football operations. He is the man that makes these decisions. And is Bill okay with that? How does Bill feel about having somebody on the roster that he doesn't really have final or ultimate control of?
Yeah, I mean, we all know Belichick get rid of a player a year too soon instead of a year too late. And see, the thing with me, I've said this the whole way, I understand making special rules for Tom Brady. The guy's deserved it. And I'm okay with him retiring as a Patriot and maybe playing a year or two too long. I don't think Bill Belichick does, obviously, but I think everyone else on the planet understands that. And why can't the Krafts just admit that that's what's going on? I think they started to finally admit that last week at the Super Bowl. And, you know, they admitted there was tension, but they tried to spin it as a positive. And they admitted that Brady can walk away whenever he wants. And again, these are all very understandable and reasonable positions. But for a while, they had to pretend like, trading Jimmy was purely a football decision. And, oh, our hands were tied and there's nothing we could do. And that was clearly not what's going on. And now I think they're finally starting to come around. And still, if you read between the lines, it doesn't even take that much translating. They're clearly admitting that that was what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought there was going to be a point where Robert Kraft was going to have to choose between Brady and Belichick in terms of who he was backing. He was going to have to put his thumb on the scale for one of those guys. And I think clearly he's put his thumb on the scale for Tom Brady. Is this the beginning of the end? Or do you feel like they'll be right back in that AFC Championship game next year as a Super Bowl contender?
It feels like we've been asking this question now for like 5 straight years.
Longer than that, Ben, trust me.
It's amazing. So as long as they have Belichick and Brady, they're going to be competitive and right there in the AFC. But with all the turnover on the staff, I do wonder if they're going to be this, you know, wagon that they've been the last few years where they're guaranteed 12 to 14 regular season wins and they coast to the number one seed. Of course, it has to be the end because Tom Brady, or the beginning of the end at least, because Tom Brady's going to be 41, and there's only, no matter what he says, there's only so many more years that he's going to do this. And it certainly could be the beginning of the end because there's question marks at quarterback beyond Tom Brady, and hitting on one in the draft, I think this year, is of the utmost importance. You know, if they were able to keep Garoppolo, I think you'd feel better about the future. They can find another quarterback. Hypothetically, they can find a guy in the late first or second round and develop him, and maybe Tom plays 3 more years and then hands off to the next kid, and it's a seamless transition. But I do know it's very difficult to find a quarterback, and they had a good one in Garoppolo, and they let him get away, and now the pressure is really on to find the next guy. So the future of the franchise and whether this is the beginning of the end or if they're going to sustain it, it's really all about can they find a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Brady after the game lamented the missed opportunities for the Patriots.
No, we moved the ball. I think red area was something that hurt us in the first half. But wish we'd have scored more points.
And really, I think that that is emblematic of this entire Super Bowl for them, Super Bowl 52. This was one giant missed opportunity, an opportunity to repeat as Super Bowl champions, an opportunity to win a sixth Super Bowl. And it all went by the board in painful and shocking fashion with how inept the Patriots were on defense. So the Patriots have a lot of questions to answer about their performance in Super Bowl 52 and about what the team is going to look like moving forward. So definitely have to keep an eye on that. All right, Ben, thanks so much for joining us here on Season Ticket.
Chris, thanks for having me all season. This was the season didn't end as Patriots fans had hoped, but this was a lot of fun this year.
No, it definitely was a lot of fun, and you added a lot of insight, and I hope enjoyment for people who listen to Season Ticket. All right, that's it for this edition of Season Ticket, a production of the Boston Globe and WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Chris Gasper, signing off one final time for Minnesota in Super Bowl 52.